insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. Once again, we're with you for the explanation of a number of verses. This time we're beginning the longest surah in the Holy Quran, Surah Baqarah. Let's first hear the verses 1 through 5.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alif Lam. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون.
Before we begin the explanation of these verses, there's a few points that I'd like to mention about the surah itself. This surah is one of the surahs that has been revealed to the Holy Prophet whilst he was in Medina. They call these types of surahs as Madani. Some surahs of the Holy Quran were revealed during the 13 years of prophethood of our Holy Prophet in Mecca. Those surahs are called Makki. And those that are revealed in Medina after the Prophet ﷺ migrated to Medina, they are called Madani. Now, the verses of the Holy Quran, we know for a fact, have not been revealed all at once. Although there are indications that there's two types of revelation of the Holy Quran. It was once it happened that the entire book, the Holy Quran, was revealed to the Holy Prophet, and that's called Inzal. But the verses that were revealed little by little, and the Holy Prophet would let the people know what those verses were, that happened as a gradual process throughout the 23 years of the Holy Prophet's life as a prophet. Now, these verses in this particular surah have been revealed on numerous occasions, on numerous events that had taken place. At each event, a number of these verses were revealed. So unlike some of the other surahs of the Holy Quran that you can summarize the points in the surah as one point, this particular surah, it can't really be summarized as one particular point. The name of the surah, where did that come from? The name of the surah is Baqarah, the cow. This surah, or this chapter of the Holy Quran, consists of many different stories. One of the stories, inshallah we'll get there, is the story of the people of Israel, Bani Israel, the tribe of Prophet Musa, and an event that took place. Inshallah, the details of it we will get to once we get to those verses. That story talks about a cow and how Bani Israel were told to slaughter a cow and use the tail of that to bring back to life an individual that had been murdered. In any case, The word Baqarah, the name of this surah, this chapter, has been taken from one of the surahs that is an important story in this surah. The next point about the surah is, this is one of the surahs that begins with letters, or as they call them, huruf al-muqatta. In other words, these letters at the beginning of the surah, after the bismillah, beginning in the name of Allah, the All-Beneficent, the All-Merciful, just like any other surah would start with, this surah, the first verse, is three letters, three individual letters that do not compose or do not make up a word. These are called huruf al-muqatta'ah. There's many different views on the explanation of these letters and what is meant by these. Is there any? Is this a code? Are they supposed to make up something to a message that is supposed to be understood by the people? Are these the names of Allah? There's many different views on this. But apparently, what we can see and understand is that these are codes between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. Otherwise, we really wouldn't understand and won't understand what these letters individually, without being part of a word, would mean. These three letters that begin this surah are Alif, Lam, Mim. Now, there's other views too. As I said, some views say that these letters are there to attract the attention of the kuffar. The kuffar would try to stick cottons in their ears so they won't be hearing the message that the Holy Prophet had for them, and they would try to make noises, and then once they would hear, to attract their attention, these letters were revealed. And once people hear letters being said, something that is unusual, that would attract the attention, and the following verses would be heard by them. Anyhow, there's not really too much to back those other views. Apparently, this view, as Allama Tabatabai has explained in his book Al-Mizan, sounds more logical. After the first verse, we read ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. It refers to the book. Let me first read the translation. It says, this is the book, there is no doubt in it, a guidance to the God-wary. It says that this book is a guidance. Now, obviously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals these books, the books of all messengers, all prophets that He sent to mankind to guide people. Any message that is sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to guide mankind. That's what revelation is all about. And this book, the Holy Quran, is the last message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the guidance of the people. The point in this verse that's worthy of attention and we need to think about a little more is this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals religions to guide all mankind. That's the purpose of revelation. Mankind without guidance will be lost, will not be human beings. They won't be living as mankind. They won't be living as human beings. It would be living a life of the animals. We would need the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to live like a human being. But this verse says that the Holy Quran, this book, is a guidance to the God-wary, to the muttaqeen. Now, the meaning of muttaqeen is going to be explained in the next verse, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the next few verses up to the fifth verse, starting with this verse that it says, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Those who believe in the unseen and maintain the prayer and spend out of what we have provided for them, and the continuation of that. A number of verses explaining who the muttaqeen are. If we want to summarize the explanation there, it says those who have believed, who are believing in the unseen, who have faith in other words, and they act according to that faith, which is according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us. Prayers, charity, and the likes of that. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse that this book is a guidance for the God-wary. It's not guidance for all humanity. This verse doesn't say that. The verse says that this book is a guidance, no doubt, for the God-wary. We have other verses that explain, of course, that the Holy Quran is guidance to all mankind. It says, Hudan linnas. In other verses in the Holy Quran, it's been explained. And as I said, the philosophy of religion is to guide mankind. And it wouldn't make sense to guide only a group of mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to guide all of mankind. So what does this verse tell us?
Alif Lam Mim. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون.
إن شاء الله in the next session we'll try to get and the depths of that, and see why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse that this book is a guidance not for all mankind, but for the God-wary. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu, Ya Yeah.